Page 73. First one, I suppose.
Page 73.
John, on the page 73.
Oh, yeah, oh.
Page 73.
I am to thy ear. but we are thankful that the Lord has led each one of us present to this place this morning. And I feel to say that if we know our hearts, we desire to worship our God, to praise Him, exalt and lift up His name, because we know no other name that is worthy of any praise, honor, or glory. We have desired, as I know all of you have, to believe the truth as it is in Christ, and to contend earnestly for the faith that was once, or He once delivered to the saints. We come, therefore, realizing that God is worshipped not with our intellects, our hands, as we might express it, but He, Jesus Himself, said, "The hour has come and now is." And they that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, I desire to do that, but I know and I feel that I express your feelings too, that we are not able of ourselves to worship Him anyway at all. But if He is really worshipped, it must be, cannot be any way other way. It must be in spirit and in truth. I've been disturbed with the last few days, of course, with our good friends. The Lord has been pleased to take two of them. And so far as I know, the prospects are for another one or two. But that's in the hands of the Lord. And thinking, or at least it came to my mind this morning, and I have looked it up in the fourth chapter of James, and it would be necessary to read 5 or 6 verses. But I would like for my thoughts, if I could, in my speech, to be centered in one portion of this, if it was possible, that the Lord would be pleased to give me something to say. Beginning at the 13th verse of the 4th chapter of James, he says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." The thought that came to my mind and caused me to look this up, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." Let us look to the Lord in prayer. O Lord, Thou who knowest the thoughts and the hearts and the desires of Thy people, we pray Thee to look upon this little band of believers this morning, O Lord, and send forth Thy Spirit into our hearts, that we may feel to realize how weak we are in our flesh, how needy we are, that Thou wouldst help us, that Thou wouldst give us grace, that Thou wouldst lead us by Thy Spirit. We come, O Lord, feeling the desire in our hearts to exalt Thy name and lift up Thy name above every name that has ever been named, because we realize that Thy name is the only one, Thou art the only one that is worthy of any praise, honor, or glory. We thank thee, Father, that if we are not deceived, that thou hast quickened us in our flesh to know that we were dead in trespasses and in sins, and leading us about and bringing us, as we do only hope, to be born to thy Spirit. Even as Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Thou hast been so gracious, O Lord, to bow the heavens, come down to where we poor, sinful, hell-deserving sinners are, and to speak peace in our troubled souls, because, O Lord, we know not what to say nor what to do. But if it is thy will to send forth thy Spirit, that we might be blessed to contend earnestly for that faith that thou hast once delivered to the saints, that we might be enabled of thy Spirit, O Lord, to realize, as thy servant expressed it, and we so often feel it, by the grace of God, we are what we are. O Lord, be thou with us and enable us to look up and beyond this mortal sphere in which we live, knowing that we are here for a few days according to the time that thou hast allotted each one of us. We know that there was a time with us when we did not know these things. We were not concerned about these things. But thou hast made us to be aware of how weak we are in our flesh and how dependent we are upon thee for everything, whether it be for life, whether it be for those things which sustain these our mortal lives, or whether it be, O Lord, hastening on according to thy will and purpose and time and place, that we shall lie down in death and this world shall know us no more. But in the meantime, O Lord, we beg of thee according to thy will, that thou wouldst speak in our poor hearts and confirm that hope that we believe that thou hast implanted in us, so that we might live in this world humbly, without any boastings of anything that we are or anything that we have. Because if we have the hope of eternal life implanted in our hearts, it is much to be we have much to be thankful for, but nothing to boast of over other people, because it's by thy will and according to thy purpose that we are what we are. Thou knowest the thoughts of everyone that's here assembled this morning. And if it is according to thy will, O Lord, that we might forget for a little while our trials and troubles, sorrows, afflictions, and being able to look up, as it were, where our blessed Savior is now at thy right hand, interceding for poor sinners such as we are. We beg of thee, O Lord, if it can be thy will, to strengthen our hope, because we feel so often that we become so weak that we're made to wonder even, do we have a hope? Are the exercises of our hearts and minds and souls and into everything about us in days past, were they the workings of thy Spirit? And sometimes we seek thee, our God and our Savior, and we can't find thee. We're glad that we feel like David felt. Is the guard clean, gone forever? Has he forgotten to be gracious? Father, look upon us and enable us to worship thee, and must be in spirit and in truth. Thou knowest what we need. Thou knowest us all together. We realize full well that it is by thy grace that we are what we are. We realize full well that everything that we are, everything that we have, is because of thy goodness and thy grace and thy mercy to us, Lord. But sometimes we forget, O Lord, we forget the source of all of our help. But we beg of thee to forgive us, Because at other times we realize that we fall down before thy face to give thee thanks that thou hast bowed to heavens and come down to where we poor sinners are. Therefore we thank thee for that hope of eternal life, knowing that we live. As long as thou hast allotted each one of us because we feel to realize of the truth. As thy servant said, there's a time to be born, there's a time to die. Give us grace, therefore, as we face the future, whether it be a few days or many, that we might be enabled to look to thee and trust in thee, to have no confidence in our flesh, walk softly, to talk about how good thou art and how merciful thou art unto poor sinners such as we are. Give us love for our brethren and friends. May we discuss and may we talk about thy goodness and thy mercy. Make us to be not ashamed, O Lord, even before unbelievers, to declare thy goodness and thy mercy, even as thy servants of Paul was never ashamed of the experiences that thou didst give him, never was ashamed of those things. And even as thy servant Peter, left upon record for thy people, and it enters into our hearts by thy Spirit sometimes, sanctify the Lord thy God, and be ever ready, sanctify him in our heart, and be ever ready, or always ready, to give an answer to every man, the reason, the hope that lies within you, with meekness and fear. We come trembling, Lord, feeling to realize our unworthiness to bow in thy presence even, but thou sometimes hast bowed to heaven to come down and spoken peace, and we thank thee. Lord, remember each one of us. For thou knowest what we need. We're not able to ask to thee what our heart's desires are sometimes. So we come, Father, we would come at all times praying thy will be done and not ours. Only, Lord, is it thy will to give us grace that we might be satisfied with whatever troubles and whatever sorrows and afflictions it is in thy will that we should pass through. All that we should walk more humbly before thee, before our brethren, before the world, showing as we are blessed to that the Lord has been with us, that the Lord has spoken peace in our hearts, so that we march, as it were, forward and onward to that great day that we know is in the future for us, but not knowing when, not where. But we pray thee to give us grace that we might walk softly, remembering that thou hast been merciful to us. Father, we pray not only for these that are here, but for thy people everywhere, because thou hast the people in every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. Thou knowest their needs, and they need thy grace as we do. We pray for that. We pray for Zion. Yea, we cannot find it in our hearts, as Jesus did and his. I pray not for the world. We pray not for the world, but for those that thou hast given us out of the world. And yet, O Lord, we are admonished to pray for kings and rulers, that we might live a quiet and peaceful life. Remember, therefore, those that are in authority over us and our government. Lead us, O Lord, because as we see things coming to pass, they make us fear and tremble. But if thou dost speak peace in our souls, it matters not what may come. Thy grace is sufficient for us. Lord, remember some mercy and be with us as we live. And then save us in death, we beg for Christ's sake. Amen. I suppose every one of us at times have said to all our friends and others, what are we going to do tomorrow? I know that I have lots of times, I'm going to do this or that or the other tomorrow. Perhaps the thing that I had in mind I've been unable to do, but it wasn't because of anything that I, in the power or wisdom that I had, that I did that. So James was talking about us, how weak we are in our flesh. and how unable we are to carry out the things that we may most desire without considering that what we have, we are because of the graciousness and mercies of our God. So James was saying to these brethren, he's talking to... He was talking here to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greeting, my brethren. And go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. That is not all that to natural man, our nature and our bodies, as we are constituted as natural men and women, that's about all the nature our nature is interested in. It is to go to such a city, buy and sell, and get gain. We're looking for gain. Not realizing that tomorrow, so far as our living concern, may never come. We don't realize that. We're not concerned about it. We look back, but we can't look forward except that God gives us grace and hope and assurance that we shall live as long as God has determined in his infinite wisdom. Now I'm one that believes with Solomon in Ecclesiastes, there's a time to every purpose, to every season, and so forth, under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die. I often mention this in funerals, because it is the truth. There's a time, there's a set time by the infinite, powerful, sovereign God for every time and every event in this world. I believe that. The scriptures here teach that. There's a time to everything. I believe that my parents and your parents were set out in the infinite wisdom of God that we, each one, should be their child. Time to be born. A place to be born. A circumstance under which we're born. Yes, time to be born. Make our advent into this world. We're talking with a brother deacon some many years ago. He'd been dead several years. He had a young child. I'm not sure now what age he was, but he was old enough that they thought that this child was, as we think about us, it was nothing like him. The Lord took him at a very early age. And he mourned, and he couldn't be satisfied. He was a bright young child. I have heard him tell how he wanted to be finish his work at day, and the evening before he died, this child, he was out in the woodhouse or somewhere stacking up wood that had been cut. And they called him to come in. He hadn't finished his job. I've got to finish my work. That boy died, I believe, that night. And this brother could not be reconciled. It just seemed like he couldn't be reconciled to the fact that the Lord had taken this child. He and I were going up to Philadelphia from Baltimore on the train, and we sat there and talked. And this question, he brought it up. He had become reconciled. The Lord had given him to be reconciled. And the question of the resurrection was often talked about then as it is now. And he said he believed there was something that had taken place. Evidently the Spirit of God had spoken in his heart. And he said that he was made to believe that baby had to be born into this world and had to die because it was God's will. But he had to be born, he had to have a body that must come forth in the resurrection, changed and fashioned like in the glorious body of Christ. Could you agree with him? I did. I certainly agree with him. Because there can be no resurrection without the death of a body. And so he was made, so far as I know, to be perfectly satisfied that the Lord had sent this upon him, and he worried about it, but now he realized full well that the Lord had a worthy purpose in it all. And so we go to, I told her sometime, my mother and had her sister lived with us when we were children, and this is a very homely thing I'm going to say, but Monday morning was always wash day with them. They always talked about tomorrow we're going to wash clothes, and they did, but tomorrow sometimes was so rainy and so bad they couldn't. So they had to put it off. Now this says you go to now, ye to say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. The purpose of the James writing this was to show how that we, as natural men and women, that we don't know even what the next moment, just the fraction of a moment will bring forth. We just don't know. We don't know. Some of us might die before we leave this building today. We don't know. But if we do, the time is coming. Would you agree with that? The time has come that we should be taken, and all the medical science and all the things in this world could not keep us here one moment longer. Brethren, we have a sovereign God. A sovereign God that made the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof, and has set everything in motion before the world began. And not only set it in motion, but his infinite wisdom and power and glory has kept those things in motion today, so that his eternal will and the purpose and pleasure of our God is still being carried out to every minute detail, everything. Nothing has ever gone astray. Nothing has ever turned out to differently from what the Lord had purposed it, because our God is a sovereign God over men and devils and all circumstances, all times. This is our God. And this is a God that has determined that you and me, I can believe that too, that we were brought into this world in these natural bodies of ours. And God had determined the time, the place, the circumstances, and all of those things. And not only that, but he has limited the days of our pilgrimage here into this life to the time that we shall know nothing about right now, but when the time has come that we pass from these mortal scenes, our brethren can say the Lord took him in his time, took him away. I've been disturbed, of course, the last 2 days, 2 or 3 days, Sister Farmer, our dear sister. Maybe I shouldn't mention it, but she was a member here. I know that every one of you have known, and a good many of you were there at the viewing or so forth. But the time came, almost 90 years old, I think. But the time was, the circumstances was, and the Lord, for some reason, known himself, I can't know, and you can't know, but she was bedfast for 3 or 4 years, and who knows why? Nobody but our God knows. And yet, he gave, I want to say this, he gave her, blessed her, with her family, who gave her minute care. Everything she needed, they provided by the grace of God. And then they put her away as well as anybody could. Then last night, as we came back to Brother and Sister Stewart, just about the time I got out of the car, they said my son was on the phone, wanted to talk to me. And I went to talk to him, and I found that this Brother Norman had died, and he was the one that I told you about had lost his leg, and then later he got along all right on that, seemingly, he got his false limb, but he took cancer, and the cancer was all over his body, apparently. And I talked to him, I think, Thursday night, Friday night, Wednesday night, sometime last week. He had no premonition of passing, but the time had come. I say, brethren, the time had come. The God took him, the time to be born, the time to die. All the medical science and everything else cannot hasten, that cannot take it before that time. Therefore, why should you and I, as the apostle here said, James said, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Interested only in the natural things, the prosperity in nature. And doing that, we forget that God is at the head of all things. Our days are numbered, our walks are, our pilgrimage is numbered. Everything is numbered by our God. And nobody knows that. Nobody believes that. But those who have come under the teaching hand of the Spirit of God, being brought out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Son of God. Nobody believes that. Everybody said, I'll be careful and I won't have an accident. Be as careful as we might sometimes, my brethren. We don't know when God's time comes, but when it does come, whether it's in an automobile, whether it's in an airplane, wherever it may be, when the time comes, the Spirit and the power of God is there, and we're there, and God takes us in Himself. Now, that's not a very pleasant thing to some people, but I believe that these believe. I don't know that one of you here, except the children, of course, on the sound of my voice, that don't believe. That believe otherwise, and that God is a sovereign. God rules the maker and the creator of the heavens and the earth and all the fullness thereof. And when He declared the end from the beginning, my brethren, He declared everything from the end to the beginning, so that nothing has ever gone away astray. For as you know not what shall be on the morrow. I hope tomorrow, or the same evening when we get home, to get in touch with our good friend, Mrs. Norman. I hope so. I hope to go to see her, possibly tomorrow or next day, as soon as we can. But I don't know. I don't know. I have to wait. You have to wait until tomorrow to see what tomorrow shall bring forth. We make plans. We can't carry out our plans. Every little thing that takes place which is against our plans, we can't get rid of. But that nothing has ever disturbed the eternal will and the purpose of our God. He even says, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. This is a sovereign God. And so I would call your attention to what James said here, of course, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? Question. For what is your life? Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. A vapor. That's what, so far as we have any control over our pilgrimage here, our lives here, whatever it may be in the eternal wisdom of God, our lives are just a vapor. We are dependent creatures, my friends and brethren and sisters. We're dependent creatures upon this God. Merciful God that He is, dependent upon Him, and mistake it not, He knows His will, and He puts it into our hearts. I'm convinced that He puts it in our hearts that we pray unto Him not that our will be done, but that Thy will be done. And brethren, when God's will is done, it matters not how terrible it may seem to us. It is right, it's good, because these things were all determined by God before the world began. It is even a vapor. It is even a vapor. It vanishes away. Appears for a little while, then vanishes away. A little while? How long is a little while? In this connection, it's the entire lifespan of every one of us, every one of the Lord's people. It's a life. We can't live it. We can't go beyond it. We can't come short of it. It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Haven't you seen in this morning the vapor of what do you call it, the water on the windshield? I can't think of it, but it was there for a while till the heat came and then it vanished away. I rubbed some of it off my car windows this morning. But that's what we are. We're just a vapor. All in the hands of God in every sense of the word, a vapor. And He said here that even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Our life is a vapor. Not that it's not important, because, my brethren, I tell you, the people of God that God loved and chose in His Son, Jesus Christ, we are a very, very, very important. Else it would not have been that God called each one of us and caused each one of us to be born into this world. Yes, it's an important thing. We're not important of ourselves. No, we are only the recipients of the amazing grace of our God. And so, what a gracious God He is. You, and I hope, and I believe all of you have, in years past, maybe a long time ago, maybe not so long ago, that you went around in this world not concerned about anything except making a living and except the pleasures and so forth of this world. But being a child of God, chosen by God the Father in His Son Jesus Christ before the world began, there was a time in the infinite wisdom of God that He sends forth His Spirit into the heart, into your heart. And then He does into the heart of every one of His people, sends forth that Spirit, shows them what vile sinners you are. He quickened, as I've quoted a thousand times, He quickened two words dead. Well, the thing in the world, he can't think in the thing, he can't hear, he can't see, he can't do it. Yes. Can't do it. Oh, well. We hear, he says, it's even that appears for a little while and then vanisheth away. I lost a thought there, but it matters not. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will. If the Lord will. How many times have you said,
if the Lord will?
How many times have you felt in your heart, if the Lord will, so-and-so? The brethren, sometimes, they write and say, well, the meeting association be held at such and such a time. Almost invariably, if they leave off, the Lord willing, or if the Lord will, I put it in. That's such a time that the Lord wills itself. Jane was interested in these things, and so, considering the truth so wonderfully said, instead of saying that we will go, I will do so and so, get gain, go to a city and get gain.
But I can say,
how many of the people that are not concerned about the grace of God and the mercies of God and the eternal one, the pleasures of our God? James was concerned, for he said that he ought to say. Rather than say, we will go to such and such a city, for that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that.
That's heaven.
May God give us grace, that we might be aware of the fact that we're in His hands all the time.
Not just some.
We're in His hands all the time. So that if that we ought to say, I wish that it might be the Lord's will
to
people, wherever they may be, conscious of the fact that when we make such statements of these things, that we might have in mind the truth, as James expressed it, for that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we will live, do this, or that. You can't do it outside of God. You might think it's true, have desired to do. It is because the Lord has enabled you to do that, not because you have some innate power in you, in the flesh, to do these things, but we're dependent upon the God of heaven. Nobody, my brethren, knows anything about how greatly dependent we are upon the God of heaven, but the Lord's people. I'm satisfied, that's the truth. A lot of people talk about how weak they are and how that salvation by grace, but under the teaching of the Spirit of God, they can't hold to it. They would say, yes, salvation is by the grace of God, but we got to do a little something. And when I was a child, they said to me in the school, as I'm in school, we have to let the Lord know that we want to be saved. That's how we know. We have to do something. It's part of your business in this matter here to choose to and so. That's real in this world. The Lord knows the secret thoughts of your heart. He knows His children from afar off. He knows all about what we stand in need of, and He gives them exactly what it is His will and purpose to have and to receive in this life. I don't understand. I have no answer for it. Or troubles and others. I don't know. Why do some people have more of the pleasure? I don't know. God knows. Because He has an infinite wisdom. In His infinite wisdom, He has a reason for everything. And my brother, how Saul of Tarsus was sometimes. I mention him so often, you know. How the Saul of Tarsus was. He was God, doing God's service. And the greatest thing he could do to advance the kingdom of God was to get rid of the Issacharites. And Jesus was the Christ. Get rid of them. And he caused men to blaspheme, to deny that God was God and Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it took nothing short of the Spirit of God, the power of God, the place of God, and the circumstances of God to bring that man Saul of Tarsus, who stood head and shoulders in a sense above all of his contemporaries, it brought him to bow down and beg God to have mercy. Who art thou, Lord? What will thou have me to do? It's the same identical way with every child of God. The circumstances are different as to they apply to each child of God. But the Lord brings every one of his people to see themselves as needy creatures, hell-deserving sinners. And they begin to mourn about it. They begin to try to set things right. And they find that the more they try, the harder they try, and the more they resolve, the worse they become. And so, my brethren, I can say amen to that statement, because that's the way I was. I didn't know a thing too well about religion. And I said, I don't know why I'm going to mention this, but when I was just a child, they were having a revival meeting at the church in my mother's membership at that time, and she was thought she was doing the very right, best thing to send us kids to Sunday school, and so forth and so on. And I thought, well, playing with the boys that evening, and I told some of them, I said, I'm going to join church tonight. That's boy-like, you know. That's what I'm going to do. And one said, you haven't got nerve enough. And I said, I have. Well, that's be that as it may, when the time came, the pastor of the church began to talk, you know, and the wooing and beseeching and begging those to come up and give him their hand and their heart to the Lord, or whatever else he might have said. I went up and, oh, how eager that was. He said to me, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? I didn't know. My Sunday school teacher and the others, the superintendent of the Sunday school, and the old pastor, he'd been saying all along that Jesus was the Son of God, but I didn't know it. I wanted to tell the truth, but I didn't know that he was the Son of God. But I thought, well, this is public. I was just a little fellow, but I was thinking of these things, and I better say, yes, I believe it, or I won't be received. So I said, yes, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They received me subject to baptism, and I knew immediately that I had done something I had no right to, no business to do it. They set the time for the baptizing to be, and I didn't go. Thank God I didn't go. I didn't go. I never did go. But from that time, I believe that's as a beginning. You know, there's a beginning in our experiences of everything. The beginning of this manifestation of the grace of God in our hearts is a beginning. And so there was a beginning from that time on that I began to feel, to realize that I wasn't what I'd been pretending I was and what I'd been thinking I was. But I resolved to do better and get better and do this, that, and the other. I suppose it was 4 or 5 years that it went on in this way. And I was doing what I thought was right, but it seemed like everything went wrong. All the things I resolved to do, I couldn't do. Until I became, my brethren, the greatest sinner that ever lived in my feelings and realization that God never made one that is more unworthy than I was. And I began to beg him for mercy. All of my works had failed. I had done everything I could, but whatever I resolved to do something else, if I couldn't do it, I didn't do it. So, my friends, I went to bed that night. It was way up in the middle of the night. I was supposed to have been studying my school lessons. I was in high school, I think, at the time. I was supposed to have been studying for an examination, but I couldn't study. I had to go to bed sometime late at night. I had to go to bed begging God to have mercy upon me, but seeing no relief whatsoever, and felt like I would never wake up alive in this land, in this world. But something took place, brethren. I am satisfied that something always takes place when the God of heaven sends forth his Spirit into the heart. And so sometime between that and morning, something took place. I don't know what it was. I know that everything was different. The sun was brighter. The grass was greener. Everything was different. I had an entirely different feeling. I felt that the Lord had had mercy upon me. And I had been going with my parents and the others to the Old Baptist Church in Roanoke. And I had often desired that I might to sometime be qualified to belong to them, but I saw no chance of that, not a chance. I don't use that word, it slipped out. I don't believe in the word chance at all. But I saw no possibility of me ever being worthy or ever being led by the Spirit of God to go to tell those brethren what I heard many of them tell. But as I walked from that next morning, as I walked from there to school, there's several blocks. We had to walk to school in my day. We didn't have any buses, but it wasn't too far. We lived in the town. And I thought, now I have received the hope. The Lord has been gracious to me, and I've got something to tell the brethren now. And I walked on a little piece further, and something seemed to say in my very heart, you better be careful. You might be mistaken. You know, that comes right up to me to this very day. Be careful. I've nothing to boast about. You don't have anything to boast about. But if we have any boasting at all, it's in the Lord. Saying that the Lord doeth this and the Lord doeth that. Gracious and merciful is our God. Well, I've got a little away from the subject here. For that you ought to say, rather than say we're going to do this, we ought to say, if the Lord will, we will live. Yes, we can't live unless the Lord wills it. We can't do this or do that unless the Lord wills it. And we don't know it until we are exercised and taught of the Spirit of God. But now you rejoice in your boastings. Oh yes, how often these are we together with them before that we were brought to see ourselves as nothing but poor, weak, hell-deserving sinners. We're boasting of what we've done. Lots of people boast that I'm a good businessman. I have lots of money. I have more than my neighbors. I do as I please. I do whatever I want to do. But James says, but now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Evil. Who knows it better than a child of God who's boasted that I'm going to do so and so and finds when the time comes he can't possibly do it. He has to quit boasting. He's taken away from it. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now you can take that verse home with you. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. These are certainly wonderful things, my brethren and friends. Our God gives us to remember these things. I thought of when Pharaoh asked the age of, who was it, Abraham? No. Jacob. He asked Jacob after Jacob was taken down into Egypt. He said, asking about his age, he said, few and evil have been the days of the years of the life of thy servant. Oh, I feel that way, don't you? Sometimes we rejoice in the great mercies of our God. May he be with you. I've just spoken as I thought, I hope as I feel, and may God have all the praise. Willing, we expect to have an all-day meeting at Baltimore this coming third Sunday. Elder Hollingsworth has promised, still as the Lord wills, to be with us, and we certainly expect and extend an invitation to the brethren, wherever they may be, the brethren in France, to come and be with us there at the Baltimore meeting. Now, on the first Sunday in June, it is a regular time to have the all-day meeting at Black Rock Church. Elder Prescott has promised, the Lord willing, to be there. And we likewise invite and urge, as we might, as the Lord wills, the brethren and sisters to come. We need the support of the brethren and the sisters there. We're very few. There are no members there, as you know, but we have a fair congregation, and we have this, the brethren have this holiday meeting once a year and have for a good many years. Now, if there's anything else that I...
What about the meeting at this place?
Yes, yes.
Then there'll be no meeting here.
Well, all right. We discussed this last meeting, and the conclusion is that there will be no meeting here next first Sunday, but that the brethren, as the Lord may direct us to them, to be down to Black Rock with our brethren. And we appreciate that, because we're few in number and we need the grace. Those of you who know Elder Prescott know that he is a man that's blessed of God to speak and preach the truth, the power and demonstration of the Spirit. I listened to him at the Big River Association this last year, and I don't think I'd ever heard a better, if I may express it, a better sermon, more powerful sermon, than he was blessed to the Lord to deliver right there. And we rejoice, and I felt sure that he wouldn't possibly be able to come to Black Rock because I called him a little bit late. But he says, as a matter of fact, I don't have an appointment for that day. And he said, yes, come, the Lord willing. Now, is there anything else? I don't know. What was your number?
Page 139, the last one.
Page 139. While we're saying, we announce an open door for the reception of members. There will be one more present who are exercised in these things and be able to realize that there's something wonderful, something great that's taking place in your life. Strange things. Not a natural thing, but a spiritual thing. If they have, these are your friends, your brothers. Let's stand and sing, page 139, the last one on the page.
Oh,
things in it. Now, if our hearts are willing, we'll look to the Lord and be dismissed. Oh Lord, we thank you. For thy loving kindness, and the fact that thou hast condescended to be in the lowest state, such as we are, spoken peace in our hearts, and given us grace every time we've ever needed thy grace. We pray that thy spirit may rest upon thy people everywhere, causing them to believe and to rejoice in the Lord their God. Be with thy people wherever they may be, scattered throughout the whole earth. Oh, Heavenly Father, wilt thou be with thy people that are in the churches and that are in fellowship one with another. Send forth thy spirit, O Lord, if it is thy will, to quicken us, cause that we might rejoice and to be exceedingly glad. Send the revival, O Lord, if it is thy will, to send thy spirit to revive us, so that we may be enabled to praise, to adore thy great and holy name. Lord, be with us now. Be with us when we come to the parting of the ways of this life. Save us at last in heaven, we beg through Christ.